Greetings, I'm Bill Klatke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Brother Jerry O'Leary, who's Coordinator for Justice and Peace for Xavierian Brothers and Chair of the Beyond the Boundaries Committee for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. And Brother Jerry's here today in part two of this interview to talk to us about the various things that the Beyond the Boundaries Committee is working for in terms of racial justice, in terms of the Home Act, and in terms of trying to work for peace. Brother Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Bill. I'd like to just go over very briefly the fact that Beyond the Boundaries began in the middle 90s. David Rusk came and talked to us about his research concerning the effects of housing policies. In large part, government housing policies helped create a concentration of poverty, continued racial and economic segregation in Baltimore. And it became clear to us who became members of Beyond the Boundaries that fair housing policies are at the heart of Catholic teachings on social justice, that the moral test of a society is how the most vulnerable among us are treated. Where people live determines their opportunities for employment, education, and safety. And Beyond the Boundaries realizes that all markets, including the housing market in Baltimore, operates within a regulatory structure that under the present regulatory structure, it's producing, by and large, housing that is too expensive for moderate and low-income and very low-income people.
Yes, indeed, indeed, and very racially segregated.
And Beyond the Boundaries worked very hard with all its allies to get an effective inclusionary housing law passed in 2007. But in the last few days, when that law was being passed in 2007, 100 amendments were proposed were passed in its final form, though the law mandated that all new developments reserve some housing for low and middle income households. The thousands of new units built since the law was passed, it has produced only about two dozen affordable units to households on the high end of the affordability scale. Yeah, why is this?
Yeah, it shows that there's so much work to do, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And it's because, what's the reason for the fact that it failed? In its final form, the Inclusionary Housing Bill mandated that all new developments contain a percentage of affordable housing on a scale from middle to low income. But because the final form also mandates that developers be paid cash for all units constructed, or then the mandate to include some percentage of affordable units is waived. Jack Young, council president. I got my words mixed up here. He asked Councilman John Bullock to establish a committee to come up with a feasible plan to put forth an effective inclusionary housing law that would actually produce within new developments affordable units. And he has he's held meetings in advance of setting up the committee with housing advocates and developers, including one of our Beyond the Boundaries members, attorney Matt Hill of the Public Justice Center, and also Greg Friedman of CPHA, who has been a consultant working with Beyond the Boundaries on such things as inclusionary housing.
Good.
And Beyond the Boundaries agrees with Mr. Friedman and Ms. Nidal, who wrote an article in the Baltimore Sun concerning Baltimore's housing crisis, mentioning that it is too severe and too urgent to push the funding of this feasibility study to the nonprofit funding groups, which already are spending great amounts of money helping individual groups.
Indeed, indeed. And this is part of all of the work of the Beyond the Boundaries Committee is part of the Murphy Initiative for Justice and Peace.
That's exactly right. And there are their article... And by the way, that article can be found if you Google Baltimore City needs to to fund an inclusionary housing study. It's too urgent to put off. The city can afford a feasibility study. Continued evictions and escalating rents are too costly to wait any longer.
Yeah, indeed. So when do you think the committee might do some action?
It is still, they want to get it right.
Yeah, yeah.
They've had these preliminary meetings, and there has been a bit of discussion as, can't we get a nonprofit group to do this? And it is felt that based on the example of the city of Pittsburgh, who set up funding from the city for a feasibility study, they came up with a plan. Are they on the verge of coming up with a plan? It looks like it's going to be quite feasible.
Is there anything our listeners can do to kind of help it along?
Well,
I guess they could contact you.
Yes. What's happening is that Beyond the Boundaries will be meeting on next week, Tuesday of next week. I believe that's September the 26th, I think. What they can do is our website is undergoing construction, et cetera, but we can put them on our listserv.
Okay, and how can they get in touch with you?
They can contact me on my phone, which is 443-722-7522.
Okay, that's
443-722-7522. And I will put them on the listserv.
Okay.
And they will get notes that we send out to our members.
Great. Can they contact you by email?
Yes. That's a bit longer. It's J. O'Leary. That's J. O. L. E. A. R. Y. And I have to spell this. At SavarianBrothers.org. That's my religious order that I belong to. It's XAVERIAN Brothers.
Spelled out.
BROTHERS.
Okay.
.org.
Okay, great.
Okay.
And so they can ask to be put on the mailing list and for information about the next steps and everything.
Right.
Great.
Two of the people that have been in these preliminary discussions with Mr. Bullock are Matt Hill, who's of the Public Justice Center and a member of Beyond the Boundaries, and Greg Friedman, who is a consultant with Beyond the Boundaries. He's with CPHA.
Great. Could you tell us I know that you folks are doing some racial justice circles.
Yes. Here's the thing. In Baltimore County, there was a big campaign to pass the Baltimore County Home Act, which would enable, the fact is right now families with housing subsidies, such as what they used to call Section 8, public housing subsidies,
right.
In Baltimore County, families with this type of help, they're clustered in a few communities where landlords will accept these subsidies. The Home Act would ensure that landlords throughout the county will treat people as individuals and not reject them solely because of the family source of income. So, for example, at a recent meeting, one of the council members, Julian Jones, was asked by a member of those in attendance at a hearing. We have people in our county that we don't even know they have public subsidies, you know, and we need to know because they bring down our property values. And Mr. Jones asked this man a question. What if somebody down the street from you or down the way had a subsidy? And you were quite pleased with the way he kept up his property, he or she, and he was a working person, et cetera, and all these things. Well, I'd be fine with that. Well, and then a number of the council members actually spoke about people. Not everybody is going to bring down property values. I mean, they're responsible people.
Right.
But they need help. They don't earn enough money to pay the rent that is expected. And so they get some help with that. And there's and they have proved themselves well.
Yeah, the Baltimore County League of Women Voters did a study a few years ago that found that that actually there were a number of folks who thought that the people who were not maintaining their properties were Section 8 people, and it turned out that they were other regular folks, that the Section 8 folks that were living in their areas actually were maintaining their places and cleaning, you know, the stoops and everything.
That's absolutely
better.
Right. That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is that we found among Catholic churches, Catholic voters in Baltimore County,
right,
that there's not enough connection between blacks and whites.
Right.
And the thing of it is, one of the things happening in the city of Baltimore, as well as beginning in the county and other counties, are these racial justice circles. And what it is that members of both communities, there's an invitation to a majority black Catholic church and congregants of other churches that aren't Catholic to come to a meeting which would have a mix of people of different races, predominantly black, predominantly white, coming together.
Great.
And talking about what they see as the way they look at what their goals are. There've been meetings over the past several months, and what they have produced is people understanding that there's a lot of unity in terms of the goals, what they want for themselves and their families.
People want the same things.
And at the same time, there is a understanding of a sometimes different way of looking at things because of the way things have been in the past.
Right.
And, for example, I was at one meeting where a person who was a valued secretary at this organization was talking about how, you know, they understand how people want to keep up their property values and so forth, but she was sitting on her front porch when she was a kid. And she, prior, when she was a youngster, she used to enjoy having the officer friendly come to her class and talk about what the police do and so forth. She, a black person. And then later on, when she got to be 17, she was sitting on her front porch, and all of a sudden they asked, "What are you doing there?" "I live here."
Yeah.
You know, and she was understanding that because maybe she was black, you know, she
was being treated differently.
But she had the same goals as possibly the police officer.
Right.
That was
indeed.
And so the thing of it is that these meetings of people, the contact really makes a difference in how you look at what it means when we say that America is a place of equal opportunity for all.
Absolutely. And we're just about out of time, Brother Jerry. People can find out more about racial justice circles
if they
contact, and all the other things.
If they contact the person, we don't have a website for that, but if they contact racial justice circles at this email, Ryan Sattler, RYANSATTLER, Ryan Sattler at Comcast.net. And he will put you on the listserv.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I want to thank our guest, Brother Jerry O'Leary, who's coordinator for Justice and Peace for the Xavierian Brothers, and chair of the Beyond the Boundaries Committee for the Archdiocese of Baltimore, for being our guest today. Thank you, Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Bill.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
We'll try.
for Living in Baltimore. I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.